the Trouble Guys podcast, and today we're going to be talking about spiritual manipulation and is saying God told me to marry you something that falls under that category.
Yeah, so we've heard that people are looking at someone who comes to them and says, God told me to marry you, or God told me that you should be my wife, or God told me you should be my husband, is a form of manipulation, and they call it spiritual manipulation, to try to force someone to do what you want them to do. You know, be in a relationship with you, get married to you, whatever that would be. We, you know, read some articles about this that various, not just like the random person, but some various people that are respected in the Christian community, and what articles they had about it. We read at least a few of those. And we're going to talk about our thoughts on whether there's, truth to this accusation. What would make it be true versus false if there's some sort of difference in between, you know, when it is manipulation and when it isn't. And just in general discuss this, what to do if someone says, God told me you're supposed to marry me.
Apparently it's pretty common, although I think it's like other negative things. If it happens just a couple of times, the news gets out. I don't know that I've never had it happen to me or someone I know. So, personally, to have a guy just randomly walk up and say, or, you know, a guy at my church walk up and say, God told me you're my future wife. I mean, I will have to say that it kind of happened to me in what you did. And some people may think that's what you were doing, but it was a little different in that he didn't come to me, one. He went to my daddy and he didn't say, she's my future wife. He said, I think I'm supposed to pursue her. I mean, you might want to tell this part.
Right. I will say this. I think that God does speak to people, and specifically that he spoke to me and said, Leela is the one and now is the time. So when I went, there was no form of manipulation in what I did, no intent, at least no intent to manipulate. When I went to her father and said, this is what I think the father has told me.
I mean, unless you want to call any proposal a manipulation, which it is.
Yes. I mean, there is still the aspect that when it's brought like that, it almost forces the other person to also say, well, God didn't tell me, or I guess I'll have to go see what God says about this. It almost pushes them in a direction of, let's see what God has to say about this, which I think is a good thing. I don't necessarily see that as a negative to have someone to inspire someone to go talk to God. I mean, to me, that's, you know, that you haven't really done something. If you haven't done something wrong and you've inspired someone to go talk to God, not like, you punch them in the face and they said, God, please help me, you know, avenge me. That's wrong. You've done something wrong. But if you've done something and you're inspiring them to go talk to God in a positive way, I don't think that that is a bad thing.
Yeah. Is this any different from telling someone, I think you should go to the mission field? You know, is that going to encourage them to go and check with God about that? And would it be bad to manipulate them that way? Like, I mean, using the word manipulate is a little dangerous, I think. It kind of depends on being able to understand the person's heart.
Right. And I would say, to a great degree, it depends on whether or not the statement is true or false. And so, in that extent, you know, if the person really did hear from God, like I'm going to say I did, and I go through the proper channel and say, I'm expecting that God will tell you also, maybe slowly, maybe not right now. I'm not expecting you to act on what I heard. I'm expecting you to hear also. And I think sometimes the manipulative form of this is someone saying, God told me that you're supposed to marry me, so you need to do what I said, based on what I heard, based on what I'm saying here. And that's manipulative, I would say. At least, you know.
I mean, I don't know any other way to explain.
I don't see what else. Yeah, I don't see how you could say that that's a positive. But when you're going to the person saying, this is what I heard from God, and you trust that God's going to tell them too. You know, I didn't really have any fear in my heart that there would be a turn down from Leela or her father, because I knew that God spoke to me, and I know that he's going to, I didn't know how long it would take. I was prepared for it to take a really long time. God did say now is the time to me. But now is the time could be for me to say, okay, I'm going to start the process. I didn't know how long the process would take. But then I also saw confirmation in some of the events that happened right after God told me that. I saw confirmation in that my parents were on the same page. And I think that's an important thing. It doesn't seem like God usually only tells one person. Usually if it's something that he's telling people, you can get a confirmation. It actually says this at the end of Acts chapter 14, that the prophets, people who've had something revealed to them from God, are subject to the prophets. The others are going to judge. And so basically, when there is a revelation from God about something, supposing, you know, who you're going to marry or whatever it would be, the people in your life who are your spiritual mentors, your parents, your, you know, if you've got a mentor that's not a parent, if you've got a pastor who is close to God, should be able to confirm that, yeah, we think you really are hearing from God here. When you hear from God, that's the kind of confirmation that you can expect to be there.
It is unfortunate that a lot of people don't even like the approach you took, where we were not really, I hadn't been courted by you beforehand or dated or whatever. And then you went and talked to my father about marrying me. I've actually heard young ladies be affronted about that idea, that a man would not court her first and get her all excited about him before he'd go and talk to her dad and bring up this very important proposal.
Yeah.
To me, that seems a little strange, because why would you want to be basically tricked into wanting to say yes to a guy?
Right. To me, that's where the manipulation is.
Yeah, I mean, that's manipulation.
Manipulate her feelings so that she likes you first, court her first, and then
bring put the proposal on the table. Yeah.
To me, that is manipulation. That is trying to take advantage of someone's feelings instead of saying, I want to do what God wants to do. I hope you want to do what God wants to do. Let's ask him what he wants us to do.
But yeah, that's kind of another topic, but you could listen to our episodes about why we didn't date and why we didn't court if you want to know more of our perspective about that and why that wasn't interesting to us, that we didn't want to take that path of having me get convinced by his charm and you know, me liking to be around him. We didn't want that to be what made the decision. And same for him. He didn't want to be convinced by how fun I was.
Nope. I wanted to be acting on what God wanted. And I didn't necessarily need or want my feelings to get involved to cloud that issue.
Yeah. So like it or not, manipulation is existing in the Christian walk to marriage in many forms. This is not one of the only complaint that we should be having. I think a lot of people are kind of blinded to the other ways that manipulation is happening.
Yeah, that's definitely a hidden manipulation that doesn't get talked about a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. Men are going up to women, you know, like they've kind of know them, but not real well, and just basically blurting out that God told me you're my future wife.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard is happening. Like I said, I haven't actually experienced it or known someone who had it personally happen to them, I don't think, unless I'm forgetting. I think they're taking this as a sort of a pickup line. And like you said, in the complaint about it being a manipulation, that he's trying to basically make her go ahead and accept him as a relationship option by playing the God card, some people say.
And I will say, a lot of times these, God told me you're my future wife, what they want from the woman is for her to start dating them. They're not actually putting a proposal saying, God told me to do this, so I'm all here. You know, I'm 100% behind it. Here's a covenant. I'll marry you as soon as you
I'll do whatever agree, you need me to
whatever
do.
Whatever you need me to do. And so that's also a very different thing, is that they're saying this and then they want to date or court, which actually shows that their entire faith isn't in it even themselves. They don't believe it to the full extent possible. And so again, that would be a sign that maybe it isn't quite as certain as they're making it out to be.
Yeah, I get the impression that maybe this happens most commonly in the kind of church circles, where it's common for people to walk around saying, God told me this and God told me that, to where if they just get the faintest vague positive about something, they just go ahead and start telling people that.
Yeah, God said it. In God's law, a false prophet was to be put to death. So it's a serious thing to say, God told me, without being, you know, having confirmation that this really is true. That God really did say it. So I'm not a fan of people who go around lightly saying, God said, God told me this, God told me that. I think God does talk to people, and he talks to some people a lot, like, you know, prophets and people who are listening to him and asking him for his voice. I think he talks to them quite often. I don't think he's silent.
Yeah, I think there's a danger on the other hand of discounting any and all people who say, God told me something.
Yeah.
Because we do believe that he still can and does communicate with people. So yeah, right. Don't start being, I don't know how to put it, but disrespectful, I guess, of the Holy Spirit by just discarding anything, anyone that says that they've heard something from God.
Right. It actually tells us to test the spirits. So if someone says, hey, I've got this message from the Spirit, you know, as believers, having the Spirit ourselves, we should be able to test that. We should be able to confirm, usually also confirmation through our own spirit, through peace, through all the different ways that God talks to us. We should be able to confirm, okay, that really was him, you know?
Right. And I do not say God told me to marry you, even though I think he did want me to marry you, but I can't say told me in those words, because for me it was more like a confirmational piece.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other people in my life, my mentors, were also advising it.
Right.
To where I knew I should marry him, but it wasn't a God told me situation, because I didn't have words.
So you
like,
would,
thou shalt marry Joshua.
Right, so would you describe it as maybe a piece that passes understanding?
Right.
That goes beyond what, you know, what you would want to do even.
Right. I was in a situation where, since I felt neutral about him, I was having much too much peace, given my mental consideration stage, because I was like, I don't really know anything about him. Why am I feeling so peaceful about saying yes?
Right. And I would say, in general, when you're trying to discern whether what's going on, if this is God speaking to you, if it's something that you personally don't want to do, but you feel like maybe he's saying you need to, that's more likely to be his voice than if it directly aligns with exactly what you want to do. And I think some of these people are saying, you're just taking what you think should be your feelings, your desires, and slapping God said on as a label on that. And that is not something you should do at all.
Yeah, I would have been more suspicious about my own feeling of being led by the Spirit to marry you if I had already been real thrilled about it. I actually know a young lady who, when she was proposed to by the man, she did take time to pray and fast. Because for her, she wanted to already. She felt more than neutral about him. So she wanted to be very careful about thinking that whatever she was feeling about him was going to be making her do something she really shouldn't.
Yeah.
In accepting. Because she also wanted to only marry if God wanted her to.
Right. And again, if your feelings are inclined in a particular direction, it's not that God isn't saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, again, the confirmation from parents, from mentors, just fasting and praying and making very sure that this really is the Spirit leading you in this direction. I think if we do that, then the claims of manipulation and even the fact of manipulation can be dramatically decreased.
Mm-hmm. One of the articles I read, the lady was saying she had gotten a question basically asking, what do I do? Yeah, when a guy told me that I'm supposed to be his future wife. And am I supposed to pray about it? And the lady was like, well, it would be freaky, was her word, freaky to have a man you're not attracted to suddenly drop that revelation on you. I thought that was interesting because the important factor to both the author of the article and the young lady writing it was that she was not interested in the guy.
Not interested in him, yeah.
On a, you know, an attraction level. That would be, I guess that's why it's labeled often as creepy when a man does this. Because it's usually coming from someone she's not interested in.
Yeah, someone she's not currently interested in.
Otherwise, I mean,
maybe she doesn't know him well.
Maybe the response would be positive if it was a guy she liked.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really heard anyone complaining about a guy that they like saying, God said you're going to be my future.
But I also haven't heard of a guy doing that. And
yeah.
It being received favorably ever.
Right.
It apparently is not an effective way. Even if it's true, even if the guys are actually honest and they did hear this from God, it's apparently not an effective way to start. So please don't do that, because I haven't heard a single case where that succeeded, where the man came up in cold turkey, told the girl that you're my future spouse. I mean, I wish I could find some testimonies from guys who tried this. And what it was like, and whether they really still feel like they were doing what God told them. But
right.
I didn't see any information on that on the internet.
I think that if a guy gets this message from God, one thing, sometimes when God tells you something, it's not for you necessarily to tell other people. Another thing is you need to be operating within the framework of God's system. Even if God tells you this woman is going to be your wife, you need to operate within the framework of God's system and within his timing. So to go directly to her. Most of the time, if she has a father, that's not God's framework. That's not the system or the principles that we see in the Bible.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's why it fails, because the women are not designed to accept that kind of approach. I mean, maybe their very nature revolts against it, to have someone come and slam down an offer like that.
Right. And see, I think sometimes it doesn't even sound like an offer. Which can also, I mean, even just the way it's stated can have an effect on how it's received.
That's true. I mean, maybe even a man wouldn't respond not well that, to that.
Well, I'm just envisioning this both ways. I have heard of guys who've had the woman come tell them, you're my future husband.
That's true.
And you know, again, they're also feeling like it's, you know, freaky. They don't respond well to that. But I think part of that is how are you making the approach? To an extent. Now, honestly, if someone came to me and gave me a message from God, but was rude in how they gave it, if it really is a message from God, it's on me to look past the rudeness and to hear what God has to say. But don't go out there and rudely give, you know, what God has given you unless God told you to say it in a certain way. So sometimes the presentation can be an issue. God told me you're my future wife versus I feel like God has said that we should get married. I would like for you and your mentors to pray and see if you're hearing the same thing. Then what you're asking for is prayer. It doesn't sound quite as much like a demand.
Yeah. So basically the complaints are valid because of, one, the question of if it even is true.
Right. First, if it's not true, complaints are totally valid. Right. That is manipulation.
Right. You can't lie. Like you said, being a false prophet is very...
Yeah, that's totally...
And it's essentially what you're doing is being a false prophet.
You're saying God said something that he didn't say. Yeah, that's being a false prophet.
And two, the channel you went through to do it is all out of kilter because, like you said, the Bible shows men going to the Father first to make the initial offer.
I mean, it also just makes sense because the scripture also shows that he has this refusal.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, if you did go to her father first, it would show that this isn't something that you're trying to, it's not a trick. You're being honorable and above board. It's not some sort of, I'm going to try to trick this woman into doing something.
Mm-hmm. Or pressure her in a kind of a fear way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And three, the manner in which it's delivered is not humble and, you know, in a way that's non-threatening. So that's a mistake. Is there any other mistakes on that side? Oh, not paying attention to timing. Like further direction from God. Just knowing that this is your future wife, you know, or thinking she's your future wife. Sometimes what we think we are hearing from God is true, but we're not quite sure about it, and that's fine. Sometimes he's revealing something a little bit at a time. So it's not necessarily something to just jump on, though. If you think you're going a certain direction in your life.
Yeah.
Then I'm just going to go ahead and tell everyone or tell the person I think is also involved. Unless he says to tell them or to go ahead and take the next step. You can ask, what's my step? Do I need to do something now?
Yeah, that would be a good follow-up question. If what you get from God is this is your future wife, what do I need to do? I mean, do I sit here and say, okay, that's my future wife.
Thank you for telling me.
I appreciate that you told me. I'll be as patient. I'll wait on you as long as I need to. That doesn't necessarily mean, okay, now run across the church and tell her right now.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a story where a guy was at some public event and he felt like the spirit told him that the woman behind him in the yellow dress, which he hasn't seen yet, is your future wife. And so he looked around and he saw her, spotted her, said, okay, that's my future wife. And then he didn't approach her there. Mm-hmm. He waited and God brought them back together later.
Mm-hmm, like months later.
Yeah, months later.
It's an interesting
story. So he waited on God. He didn't feel like, okay, now if she leaves here, I'll never see her again. Because this was some big public event where he didn't really have any idea who she was. He wouldn't have any contact information or anything. No way to ever get a hold of her again. But he said, okay, if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I don't have to step out until God tells me to. And I think part of the impatience of, because, you know, getting a wife is a good thing. You know, it says that in scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, okay, well, I need to quickly get a hold of this, get this done, is a common mentality, especially for men.
Yeah. The women, they struggle with a lot of the stories about this on their side. It's not that they go up and tell the guy, because most women believe they're supposed to wait for the man to be the approacher. But they still think he's supposed to be their husband. And they may even tell their friends about it or their mom. And they struggle because then later he marries someone else.
Right, and he never comes to them.
He never came in and approached. So they go, so what do we do with that? I was sure he's supposed to be my future husband. Is this a whole new topic?
It is, but it's very related, because really, we have to ask the question, can God say, this is what should happen, and then man not do it? Can you have a case where, God tells me, Leela's the one, now's the time, and I refuse to do anything about it when he tells me to, and then it never happens? Would that be, well, God was wrong, or you heard wrong from God, or would that be me being disobedient? And I think part of the thing is that it seems like we see this in Genesis 24. Check out our whole episode on that. We actually have two episodes on Genesis 24, where it talks about Abraham saying, God will guide you in the way. She's there. This future wife for Isaac is there. Go get her. But if she's not willing, this woman that Yahweh's going to lead you to isn't willing, then you're free from this oath. You don't have to take her for Isaac. And so almost like God says, yes, this is the right one, but she still has free choice and she might not do it. And mm-hmm. I think that you could encounter that scenario where God can say, this is what should happen. You should say yes to this guy if he comes to you, but then the guy not listen to God.
And this is a big topic because it goes into predestination and free will and stuff.
It does.
Which everyone's going to have a slightly different view on that.
Yeah.
Even among the people that supposedly agree, if you really talk to them a long time, you'll find out that their little spin on free will or predestination is not the same as another person's.
Yeah, the variations in how it's understood at the practical personal level is about as many as there are people. So.
Yeah. But we would say don't discount necessarily someone approaching you in the wrong way, through the wrong channel. If he does come to you and say, God told me you're my wife. So we're saying, okay, his manner is terrible. His approach was probably the wrong time and the wrong manner. But it's fine to go ahead and go, fine, I'll go and pray and talk to God about it. I mean, that's the least you can do probably, because in case he was told by God and is just messing it up.
Yeah. And one of the articles I read, someone was like, this is a bad thing. It's adding stress to my life. Now I have to go talk to God about this.
It's making me re-examine my whole, theological views and re-examine my whole life. I already have so much going on.
Right.
Too much pressure.
Maybe part of the problem is if we're walking closely with God, to have something come up to us where we're forced to go spend more time with God isn't really going to bother us that much. Hopefully. If we're in a good place with God, good place in our relationship with God, usually those kind of things are not much of a stress on us. To the extent that we're resting in his arms as we walk through life, stress can't touch us, honestly, any kind of stress. And so, yes, I agree that this is going to put the natural man into a bind, so to speak. And it might not even be fair if this person is approaching at the wrong time and in the wrong way. You can even say that's an unfair position to put the other person in.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if you're on the receiving end of that, to forgive them for putting you in the position, one thing, and then actually just say, I can talk to God.
One of the articles I read, the man summed it up and said that basically that statement is controlling and dangerous, which I guess I can see that point of view. It's a little different for me because, like we were describing earlier, I was on the receiving end of something almost like this. It wasn't quite, because not only was he going through a more appropriate channel, but he also put it in a more tactful manner, and it was indeed from God, I can say firmly from my spirit, and my parents also were on board with, they were sure this was a good thing. There were other people also that thought it was from God.
Yeah, it is interesting that we actually had that confirmation from other mature believers that we both knew. We weren't in the same church or anything, but there were a few believers that knew both of us that also thought that, yeah, this is something that's supposed to happen.
Yeah, so with that kind of experience, I'm more inclined to go, I would be excited if a guy came up and told me, you're my future spouse, because that's what happened to me. And then I realized, wasn't quite like that. So I could see how it would freak a woman out to have a man just come up right to her and say, basically sound like he's demanding that you have to marry me because God says so. Which is how it's coming across, whether the men realize it or not.
One of the points that was made is that God won't just tell one person. And I actually agree with that. But he won't necessarily tell you both at the same time.
Mm.
And so allowing time, if you're the one who's already heard, allowing time for the other person to hear, and even space or whatever it takes for that, is one thing. And if you're on the receiving end, not feeling like you're pressured to make God talk to you, you can ask him to, and let him also, again, reveal in his timing. So there's this waiting on Yahweh aspect. That's where the peace is in our walk with God, is when we wait on him.
Yeah, it is interesting that a lot of people just brush the whole idea off as ridiculous because, I mean, if that was true, then he would have told me, is what I heard one young lady's comment on it was. I mean, a guy told me one time that I was his future wife, which was ridiculous because all I said was, well, he didn't tell me. It's like, well, you expected him to tell you at the exact same time he was telling the man? That's not usually how marriages happen.
Yeah. And again, going back to the one that I know, me personally, God didn't tell me out of the blue. I was asking him this question. Should I marry this person? No. Should I marry Leela? Prayed about it for a good long time. You can see that in our testimony. It's on in a bunch of different formats. And I think sometimes we have not because we ask not. And so God would have told me isn't necessarily true unless you were asking him that question. And the ask and seek and knock actions that the Bible talks about with God are not just I asked him one time. These are continuous pressing in actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I inquired of God, as it's put in the King James Version, when it talks about people asking God a question, it wasn't an overwhelming and you know, just, oh, okay, now I know kind of thing. It was a gradual and subtle. Like, you remember the story of Elijah?
Yeah.
And he has this still small voice. God is actually, for whatever reason, he seems to interact with us fairly subtly, especially, I would say, especially post Yeshua's coming in the New Testament. I would say that the Holy Spirit's nudging is a lot more subtle than what we read in the Old Testament. We usually read about the big things, whereas like a prophet shows up wearing the hairy outfit and, you know, the staff and gives this big, thus says Yahweh. It's not usually like that
right now
for the average person, I think.
But I think even if you take a step back and you ask yourself, how did this prophet hear it to begin with? And a lot of times it just says the word came to them. And so I think sometimes we're assuming that this is a big thing, that it was sensational. But a lot of times it's us fasting and praying and listening, seeking God is where those answers are. When we inquire of him, you know, if we seek him, we find him. If we're, you know, just going through life ignoring him and like, well, he'll tell me when it's time for me to get married. I don't know that that's necessarily true. He likes to be asked.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't force things on you. He wants you to choose stuff. So it's not like he slaps you in the face and says, you have to marry so-and-so. But if you ask him, what do you think? Should I marry so-and-so? I think he does.
Yeah.
He does in some way communicate to you, whether it's a positive or a negative for him. That's what I get from him anyway. And like we've talked about before, he does talk to people in different ways. So we're not saying, yeah, unless it happens to you exactly like it happened to Joshua and I, then it's not real.
No, and one of the ways that was criticized is I had a dream that I married someone, and dreams are not the easiest of the ways that God speaks to understand. A lot of times, I mean, if you go through the scripture, and you look at all the dreams, how many of them were literal, and how many of them required interpretation? I'm not really remembering very many that were literal. There was maybe the one where Joseph has an angel speak to him in the dream, tells him directly what to do, and maybe it's just giving us the outcome of the dream. And the dream was actually more figurative. We can't actually know that for sure. So with dreams, I would say that God does speak of dreams, but be careful. If you're not someone who has a history of God speaking to you through dreams, so you know how he's speaking to you in dreams, it also says in the Bible that from a multitude of business, there can come a dream. So if this is something that, you know, you've been thinking about getting married and then you have this dream, oh yeah. That's not necessarily anything more than just your mind and body processing things. And again, there's other ways. God speaks through peace. He speaks through other people talking to you. And then you can confirm dreams, visions. He's done signs, answered signs. God talks in so many different ways. I don't think we should be like, okay, God has to speak to me exactly like he did this. I'll hear an audible voice, or I'll hear an inaudible voice, or whatever you're gonna say, okay, this is how it has to be. Mm-hmm. I don't think that we're in a good place doing that.
Or he'll respond at a certain time. You know, I spent a whole month and he didn't say anything, so obviously I'm allowed to marry whoever I want. I'm saying that doesn't mean he didn't have a preferred person in mind for you. But yeah, he doesn't always respond in a month's time. You go, why would he make you wait? Well, I don't know. I can't tell you why he does the things he does.
Someone who didn't wait on Yahweh is King Saul. He saw his army getting smaller and smaller. The time where he's going to have a chance to defeat the Philistines is slipping away. And he goes, Samuel is not here yet. I'm still waiting. I'm supposed to wait. Yahweh, through Samuel, said, wait for me. I can't wait anymore. And he stopped waiting and he offered the sacrifice himself that he was supposed to wait for Samuel to offer. That's not waiting on Yahweh. That's taking matters into his own hands. And that's a negative example, not a positive example. Sometimes we're waiting on Yahweh way past the point where it seems like, well, now nothing can be done.
Mm-hmm. You know,
my whole army is gone. All that's left is me and Jonathan and his armor bearer. Well, when the battle actually came, guess who won the battle? Just Jonathan and his armor bearer, essentially. The rout started just by the two of them. Just because the whole army was melting away from Saul did not mean that Saul needed to stop waiting on Yahweh.
No, it is a severe blow to, especially the stories you hear from women, where they say that God told them to marry someone, and they go, and then it turned out awful, and he was just a terrible husband.
Yeah.
Then they have a blow to their faith, and some people, therefore, will take these stories and go, well, that means they shouldn't. That was all bogus. They never heard from God. They just wanted to marry him, and that's what happened.
And that's a common one, is that the outcome is bad on something, and they say, this couldn't have been God.
So it wasn't him.
Yeah. It wasn't him because the outcome is less than ideal, you know, from the physical point of view. Sometimes, like the children of Israel, they leave Egypt and they go straight into the wilderness where there's no water. And again, it looks like a negative. Maybe this was the wrong thing. When God tells us to do something, sometimes it doesn't work. I mean, there's examples like in the book of Judges. They ask God, should we go to war against this city? And they go out to war and they get defeated. And they come back and they ask God again and say, did you want us to go out to war? He says, yes. And they go out and they get defeated.
It was a strange story.
It's a strange story.
Because you go, why?
And there's other places in Scripture, if you look at them, where God tells people to do things and it doesn't end well according to our perception of reality, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that we can say this ended up being a rough marriage, therefore God didn't actually tell them to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes God tells us things in more strong terms when he knows it's going to be hard, so that we have this point to look back to and say, I know God wanted me here. I'm going to go forward in this. God told me to be here. I'm going to stay here and, you know, push through knowing that God wants me here. A lot of the time, and I think this is the main reason why you have marriages that God might have told the people to enter. If it's false, it's no surprise if that marriage has the struggles in it. But when it's true, it can still have struggles in that marriage. And a lot of times it's, yes, God told them to get married. And once they've made the covenant with each other, God tells them to stay married, whether they were supposed to at the beginning or not. But I think the couples themselves, a lot of times, don't love each other the way God says to love self-sacrificially. And that these troubled marriages, a lot of times, are more based on the sin in these two sinners than on whether or not God said to go there or not.
Yeah. You have to understand that your initial step of getting married might have been done correctly, and then the following steps of treating each other badly, or one of them treating the other person badly, was not listening to God. People can make choices all through their lives, sometimes doing what they're supposed to, sometimes not. Like you were brought up King Saul. He's a good example. Sometimes he did what God wanted, sometimes not.
Yeah.
But you can't say, oh, Saul was never meant to be a king, see?
It turned out badly. Why, yeah. You know,
why did you anoint him, Samuel?
You messed up. You didn't hear from God to anoint Saul, Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
He's turned out badly. No, he did hear from God to anoint Saul, but Saul chose a wicked way and things ended up badly in his kingdom. And you can have the same thing happen in marriage. God could tell two people to marry each other and then they can choose the wrong way and end up with a poor marriage.
I feel bad for the women who are told by preachers, well, see, sweetie, you didn't marry the right person. After all, you didn't hear from God because her husband turned out bad. It's like telling Samuel, yeah, you anointed the wrong guy, Samuel. I know you thought you heard from God, but see how bad he turned out?
Yeah.
That proves it.
Right. Unless God has told them, you know, unless this was not from me, and for them to step in and say, God did not say that, again, you're running into a danger zone of being a false prophet. To say God did not say something when he did is the same as saying God said something when he didn't.
I guess we're saying to us the result of the step of obedience doesn't prove whether or not anything about what you were told. whether it's positive or negative. And I think that's the problem a lot of Christians run into. They have this idea in their head that if God tells you to do something, it's of course going to turn out good, which it did for us. You are a great husband.
Right.
But not everybody, not all the time does God tell you to do something that's therefore going to be great. That just happened to be the way that our marriage played out.
Right. And you can't say that, you know, there's not going to be any struggles. When it comes to our marriage, yeah, things have been about as smooth as we've seen in a couple. When it comes to things that are tangential to our marriage, like our lives and various things that we've had to face, we're not saying that, you know, our road has been smooth because we listen to God. In fact, we don't say that our marriage is smooth because we listen to God. God gives that, and especially when the people are living out agape love for each other, when they love self-sacrificially, regardless of what the other person is doing, then you have the chance at a good marriage, especially when both people are doing that.
Yeah, there's a million factors that go into having a really good marriage.
Yeah.
Not just the initial step of marrying who God tells you to. It's almost a prosperity doctrine kind of thing to think that we're all about listening to who God wants us to marry so that we can have a perfect marriage.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of prosperity doctrine regarding marriage, whether that's be pure before marriage because then you'll have a better marriage. Whether it's you need to court instead of date because then you'll have a better marriage. You need to get betrothed instead of court because then you'll have a better marriage. If the goal is to have a better marriage, that's a prosperity doctrine. The goal should be, I'm doing this because this is what my God, my King, wants me to do, and I'm setting out to please him. That has to be our motivation for everything we do. Otherwise, we are seeking the blessing rather than the blesser.
We have to be going, I'm going to do this, God, however it turns out.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they told the king, our God can save us, but even if he doesn't, we're going to serve him. And so we can do the same thing. Say, my God can bless my marriage, but even if he doesn't, I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to marry who he says to.
Yeah. That's the kind of attitude that you want to aim for, so it's not becoming something that we discount things that we shouldn't because it didn't turn out the way we expected. Or we do things just because of what we expect to get out of it. A lot of people think that God has led them to who to marry. And some people entirely throw that out as not a thing. But a lot of times if you look at, you read their article and you listen to what they're saying, it's usually because they have this idea that if God had told them to do it, it would be confirmed by how great the marriage was. And we don't really believe that. Because like you point out, lots of things in the Bible that people were told to do didn't turn out all rosy.
No.
Or easy. Sure. Definitely not easy.
Not easy, and a lot of times not rosy. Our motivation for doing what God says shouldn't just be because it will turn out well. It should be because that's what he wants. And again, that goes back to, we really have to know whether or not he's telling us this or not. And so to me, the major thing, if someone says, God told me that you're my future wife, you're my future husband, the real question is that true? Is that statement true? And that is going to be the biggest determining factor over whether this is a good statement or a bad statement.
And if it is true, then you seek further guidance.
Find out when and go forward in God's timing and in his guiding.
Taking the steps that he tells you to take.
Yeah.
If any. I know we opened up a lot of side topics in this one and that we'll probably have to explore further in future episodes.
Yeah.
But we hope that it shed a little light on the whole situation for the listeners and hopefully gave some good advice for anybody who's currently praying about who to marry or have actually faced the situation of having someone tell them that they're their future husband or wife.
Yeah. Yeah, and we talk about, you know, seeking God's will and following his path to marriage pretty often. We do have more resources and materials that you can look at on our website, betrothalandwedding.com. You can look us up on social media as Betrothal Guys. If you've got questions about this episode or anything else you come across in our stuff, drop us a message and we will be happy to respond.
As soon as we can. I mean, we do have kids. We're busy.